the business station, but he said that if we ever got that auditing bill passed, that it would be a declaration that the Federal Reserve is in a lot worse shape than any of the banks that went bankrupt. But that technically, you know, in conventional terms, the Federal Reserve does not have the assets. All they have are credits, and obviously that's what we would expect. But that goes to prove why they can't be the salvation of this country. I mean, just counterfeiting money and doing mischief and serving the interests of their friends, that can't work. I think it's going to come to an end whether we win this legislative victory or not, because their system is deeply flawed. Ultimately, I think the solution comes if we're well prepared to offer it up when the system totally collapses. The financial structure has come unglued, but the dollar still works to a degree. You know, people still are buying dollars and they don't know what to do with them. But when they get discouraged and they don't hold dollars anymore, and then they start buying up hard assets, they're starting to buy oil now more than they did a month or so ago, and they continue to buy gold, and you know, China continues to buy gold. I mean, there's a lot of things, but the end stages of a situation like this goes very, very rapidly. Once the sentiment changes, just like when the financial system collapsed, everybody rushed to dollars and interest rates went down to 1%, along with what the Fed was doing. But when a currency crisis hit, people went, holy man, let's get out of the dollar, and then you'll see the fireworks. Then we have to be prepared to say, don't just give us a UN central bank. I mean, the international planners they know what we know, and they're making their plans. They know their days are numbered. But the contest is between totalitarianism and liberty, and whoever wants the totalitarian approach has to have government monopolized money, and that's what we have to stop.
In your gut, and we all know what the gut is, it's thousands of pieces of data integrated in, and the mind comes up with a prime projection. In your gut, Congressman, do you agree with me that in the last 2 months we were about to get the tidal shift or the flip to our side, but I can almost spiritually feel it at a DNA level that the shift has happened?
Toward our way?
Yes.
Well, when I'm out of Washington, I have two perspectives. You know, when I go to a college campus and you represent and talk to people outside of Washington, and there should be reason why you're seeing signs of optimism. But I come up here every single day. Right now we're dealing with the State Department authorization bill, and it's atrocious. You know, it's $18 billion and more mischief and more militarism. And the Republicans this time are going to oppose it, but it's just a partisan thing. But it'll go sailing right through.
So you're saying there's two different worlds,
yeah.
And more and more it's getting separated, and that gulf is widening.
Right, and like this week, and I just got off the floor, I gave my all of 2 minutes, and I said, you know, our president has asked us to go with PAYGO, pay the bills as you go along. Of course, for the liberal, that means raise taxes. Well, how can they raise taxes? That there's no businesses out there that can pay. But they're not going to pay for this. They're incapable. And if they paid for it by cutting it and they want to spend all this money overseas, they'd have to cut a domestic program, which they're not going to do. So the president's outside on the TV, and people say, well, that does sound good. And this president's not a radical spender. He wants to cut down, and he wants to rein this in, and he wants PAYGO. And he says, in 2 years from now, we're going to, you know, cut way back. We'll deal with the problems later on. And you know, I think, though, our crowd is probably like young people around the world. Think of those young people in China when Geithner goes over there and says, oh, yeah, we're going to get things under control, and we're going to rein back our spending. And those students just laughed at them. Well, I imagine there's a lot of students around the country and a lot of other people now who just laugh at us up here in Washington. But the people here in Washington are still in charge, and we haven't converted them. And we're just seeing signs of it, that it's possible when we can get 209 people to support an auditing bill. So we just have to do our best and see what happens, see if the calamity hits us before we can make some calm, deliberate decisions and make some changes. But my guess is that we'll have the crisis before we can do that.
Absolutely. Things are certainly deepening. When do you see the next big plunge downward deeper into this globally engineered depression?
Well, I think think it's really going down now, but the government statistics sort of are giving people a false sense of security. So I think we're still slipping. But there will be more announcements and more bankruptcies and probably more commercial property problems and more states going bankrupt and more unemployment. Then finally, the euphoria on Wall Street of the last 4 months is dissipating, and that'll feed into a lot of disappointments. But, you know, even though Wall Street has done a little bit better by these prices going up a little bit, I don't think the average guy out there that's lost his job has started to feel any better yet. And I was impressed the other day that some of the news media have reported that the real rate of unemployment isn't 9%. It's like 18%, you know, when you add up all the people who don't look for jobs anymore or who work a couple hours a week. So it's a very serious problem. And,
exactly. The mainstream media is now having to admit more and more that the government is lying and spinning because they want to keep some credibility. Sir, I want to specifically ask you in the time we have left –